John 10th chapter, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You may be seated. Thief and a robber. You know, it's something that you can read in the Bible about thieves and robbers. But it's there. And there are lessons to be learned about thieves and robbers. In every area of life, I don't care when you have lived or when you live or where you come from or what you do. No matter what you're involved in, whether it be church matters or not, even if you're an atheist, sometimes you're going to have to deal with this thing that wants to steal from you, that wants to take away from you. And I think we're all familiar with that. We're all familiar. I think we all can relate to knowing that these things can and do sometimes happen. You ever felt like you were cheated out of something? You ever felt like things didn't happen as they should have because somebody else got what you were supposed to get? Or maybe did you ever have anything that you really enjoyed having only to find it was no longer there? Somebody had taken it when you weren't watching. These things are quite common to mankind. It just happens all the time. And so Jesus has many places in the Word of God, in the Gospels, and also it's echoed by those that heard him, where he addressed the subject about thieves and robbers and those that want to take away. But in this particular occasion, he's really talking about somebody trying to become one of his children or becoming involved in the kingdom of God any other way other than the way that is the correct way. If you try to climb up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. What he's talking about, there is a certain way to get in on these blessings. There is a certain way to find the protection, to enjoy the blessings that are there for the people of God to enjoy every day of your life. And the people who don't serve the Lord or who are not Christians or maybe don't go to church but are just trying to live a good life, they get in on these blessings too, just because God's blessings they're not just limited to those who have found the way. His blessings are not just limited to those who have been able to read these words and believe these words and find these words to be very true, that once you get in this thing just right, you really got a hold of something great that you can hold on to and nobody can take it away from you. But his teaching here, all through the Word of God, when you really get into it, you come to realize that when God supplies water for those of us who are thirsty for it, there are other people around who also get to drink. And when God provides any kind of a blessing to you, other people who may not even be in on this can also be blessed, because God never limits himself to just enough for you. He's always reaching for those on the outside. And if he supplies food for a multitude, he makes sure there's plenty left over. If he provides water for those who are thirsty for God and for the things of God, he makes sure that there's enough of it out there to help those that are thirsty who may not have even considered him, but they're thirsty for something. Amen. If you're hungry for something, there are some things that are available that will help you. But the thief comes to steal that. And he wants to take it and destroy the opportunity. There's always something that wants to get in the way. When something good is about to happen, there always seems to be something bad that doesn't want it to happen. Now, if I knew that the mob in New York City wanted me to go to work for them, and if I knew it was the mob, and even though they would offer me great riches, and fine homes and beautiful things that I could enjoy. I wouldn't want to work for that bunch. Because there are other things I know about the mob. I call them the mob. You know. And I've seen enough on TV. Sorry about those that have virgin ears that can't hear this. But I've seen enough on TV to know I don't want to work for the mob in New York City. And even if it's not true what you see on television, I still don't want to work for them, because what I saw was nothing made me think it might be true. I don't want to be part of a group that will go by a store. You know, some guy has worked and, you know, moved here maybe from some other country, worked so hard to get here and really, really slaved and sacrificed, you know, from can to can't every day to do all he could to finally get a little business. Can you imagine how much it costs to have a business place in a main part of New York City, down in Brooklyn somewhere, to have a store right there that you actually operate, that your store, you worked hard. Those, and then besides that, have to have a place to live in New York City and pay utilities and rent there is quite staggering. Or to own anything downtown, if you've never been there and we've never been there and been a part of that, we don't really know what that kind of living is all about. But then in the midst of that, to own a nice little store there in the main section where everything's going on, you've got all these movie stars up and down the street over here. You've got all these things going on, and everybody happy, news reporters around, and this going on, and that going on. And you've got a store right there with some goods, and everybody wants what you've got. But every few days, somebody comes by to sell you some insurance. And you may not want the insurance, but you dare not take it, because this insurance says, you give us so much money so your place won't burn. Fire insurance. Kind of like some of these guys on the internet that send you some protection to keep, to make sure that you don't have some of the spyware to invade your computer. They themselves are the ones that are going to invade. They've already invaded it when you click on that, and they want to protect you from this invasion. Too late now. Now you got to buy from them for the protection. Or somebody, if you don't know what to do, somebody's going to have to do this for you. Naturally, they want you to click on them. Let them be the hero. Because somehow you got all the spyware in your computer. Where'd it come from? Same thief that wants to be another thief and get too much money for himself that he wants to give you. Well, I wouldn't want to be in New York City and have one of those guys with, you know, maybe a bulgy heater, you know, sticking out on the, you know, one of those heaters. You know what I'm talking about, a heater? A heater that they shoot you with. A heater. I can't even talk that talk. But I wouldn't want to be there standing there in the midst of trying to do well and have this guy come by and say, look, I'm going to sell you some fire insurance. It's only good for 2 weeks, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. And he wants as much as your rent and your utilities combined to keep your building burning down. Who's going to burn it down? He is, or some of his thug friends. Well, Rick, you act like you know what I'm talking about. You've been to New York. You probably heard some of this kind of talk. I would never say that you've ever been a part of any of these groups, but you probably heard this kind of talk. I just hear it on video, radio. I tell you what, there is a thief that's worse than a mob member, and he's this rascal. It just kind of like flows in the wind. No matter what it is you want to do, this idea comes to you. If you really want to succeed, you're going to have to give in to something here. You're going to have to go this other way. And now, the Lord has already showed us in His Word where the door is and where the blessings are and how to get in on these things. And then there's this other thing that comes along. It can happen even when you're asleep at night. You just wake up in the morning, you got this crazy thought. There's another way. And I have to go that way. You need to be careful when you have found the way, when another way shows itself to be the way. There's some of us who have testified for years about we have found the answer. We know that this God we serve is real, because he became real not only in our belief system, but through believing we had an experience where we know with no shadow of a doubt that sometimes there are things that could not have been done had it not been for the power of God within us as we have followed him in truth to get it done. There are some things that can't be explained because it can't be received from those who cannot comprehend this kind of talk. But yet, we'll still explain it because in explaining it, those that can receive it get blessed. And while they're getting blessed, some of their kinfolks get blessed, and some of their kinfolks need a blessing this time of year. So we'll talk about good things during the holiday season while some are depressed, and perhaps that one person in your family that knows what we're talking about will get just enough happiness out of this, enough joy out of this, it'll spill off on some of you. And you might be happy and not even know what you're happy about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You ever been blessed? Right after you got blessed, things happened, right? That's pretty common. I hope I'm not the only one that goes through this. Right after you're determined, I'm going to do more for God than I've ever done before. Oh, I feel so good. I got a spring in my heels. I just feel like doing so much. Oh, man. I'm going for it. And then things happen. Everything that can go wrong seems to go wrong. I'm going to go all the way this time. And it feels good to make that commitment. Only to wake up the next day saying, what happened? You know, all of a sudden, it's not like it was at that moment. I meant it. I felt it. I was even emotional about it. I was determined. I felt a surge of energy. I felt like it would happen. But man, today I'm so down, I had to reach up to touch bottom. What happened? Somebody stole your dream. Something took away that blessing that was there, that could have still been there. But in order for this to happen, we have to come to a place somewhere between that blessed moment, that good time that is so wonderful, that we just want to linger there. We want to stay there. But in order to lose that, there has to come a time where we yield to something. Because if we don't yield to something else, that's going to still be there. Some thought, something somebody says, some good old thing we used to enjoy that we remember and we want to look at that again. Or maybe just something unexpected out of nowhere happens and it caught you off guard. You said some things you didn't mean to say and wouldn't have ever said it during that moment when you were so happy and looking forward to what's going to happen and how blessed you are and wondering, ooh, but now you feel so condemned. I know a man that received the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name, and cussed a man out right after that. You say, well, how can it happen? Something happened before he had a chance to get himself rooted and grounded really good in the experience that God will give to anybody. He'll give it to anybody. There is a thief that's right there. As soon as you're receiving a blessing, that's looking for the opportunity to sell you some insurance. And he has a high premium. I mean, if you want to stay excited, hey, you're going to have to give in. You're going to have to yield a little bit to the ways of the world. You're going to have to give in to what somebody might think about you. And, you know, you can't just be a Christian all the time. That's what he'll say. Although Jesus says for us to live for him, you know, he instructs us all through his word to stay in prayer. Praying always. You know, to continue. To be steadfast. To abide in the word. But this other way comes along and says, no, no, no. You don't have to do that. And I want to assure with my insurance that you'll be just as good and just as blessed. You don't have to pay attention to everything God says. See, old Lucifer hadn't changed his tune. Slewfoot hadn't changed his song. You think some song get old? His song's been around for thousands of years. Hath God said, you shall not eat of that fruit. But listen to me, I have a way that's just as good. And if you don't follow me, I'll make your life miserable. Something's going to happen to you. I've even heard some of these yielded ministers, ministries they call them, that have yielded to some of these thief spirits, these mob spirits. Get up in some pulpits across the country, and seemingly, because they got a nice suit on, they got some charisma, and they got some personality, and they know how to talk to people, know how to stir a crowd. Oh, God told me to tell you something right now. Tonight, something's going to happen to your husband. Now, let me tell you something. Well, I should have picked another person. I didn't know she was going to start rejoicing right in the middle of that. But anyway. But they'll do these things. They'll say, your son is going to be killed in a car wreck. And I've had these phone calls from people who were disturbed and upset because they got this so-called prophecy saying, your mama, if you don't do so-and-so, if you don't fast so much, if you don't go without food a certain amount of time, or if you don't give so much money to that television ministry. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that these things happen? There are some people who live day and night to rip people off in the name of the Lord. In the name of Christianity. To tell people, you have to listen to what we say. And then they will say things that do not come from God, because God doesn't come by and tell somebody that's just hungry to get all the money you can out of you. Some visiting man is supposed to be so great in the kingdom of God. Look, there's nobody greater in the kingdom of God than you are. I don't care if he's a prophet, an apostle, or the greatest missionary that's ever been on the face of the earth. You are the apple of God's eye. And if you're his child serving him right now, you just got as much power right now to speak the word of faith for anybody, anywhere, as anybody, anywhere. But this idea comes along and says, no, you got to listen to that one over there. Christ is over here. He's in the desert. You know, it's in the Bible. If they start saying you, he's in the desert, Christ is in the desert. What the Bible is teaching us here is people are going to come along and try to lure you off to dry places when God wants to keep you in the good fertile plain where there's water, where there's grass to graze on, where there is food to be supplied. And when somebody says Christ is over there, don't listen to them. Stay in the way that God has provided, because that's the right way. And anybody tries to come up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Don't mean to be yelling, because I'm talking to a lot of people that bothers them. I don't want to bother you, not with that, but I don't want to distract you by my loud voice, which I get excited sometimes. I forget. I don't even realize I'm being loud and I sound like somebody's scolding somebody. I don't mean to sound like that. I just get excited and I don't have the ability to express it beyond the way that I express it sometimes, so all I do is pray for God to give me the wisdom to unexpress it a little bit and still get it said. Because sometimes I just want to jump up and down. They accuse us of being holers. Sometimes I feel like rolling. I'm not going to do it right now. I might embarrass somebody. But I just feel like doing what they accuse us of being. A holy roller. Sometimes I just feel like jumping up and down shouting hallelujah. Hollywood tries to act this out. You know, they put these movie stars up there and hallelujah, hallelujah, but they can't get it. They don't know how. They don't have the real hallelujah in them. They don't know how to praise the Lord because this is not an act. You see all these people waving their hands and dancing around. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're getting paid for it. Hey, we're getting paid for it, but in a different way. And this is real. This hallelujah is coming from somewhere way down deep. This praise you, Jesus, is not an act. It's something that has been given to us by the real God. This is a real kingdom of God that we're talking about. This is a real holy church. There's nothing wrong with where we are, and there's no substitute out there that will work like this works. There's nobody that has anything that we don't already have. There's nobody that has something better than God gave you when you submitted your way to God and said, I want what you've got for me, Jesus. He gave you the best of the best, and there's nothing else. Hallelujah. Praise Him with me. Praise Him with me. There is nothing else. I don't care what kind of thought comes up. What kind of negative thoughts that you may have, or what you did that you didn't mean to do. Just keep on coming back to where it's at. When you get something good, you want to keep it, don't you? And Jesus has included in His gift giving a maintenance package. And there is a fix it for everything that breaks included in the box.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't care what it is. I let somebody have a piece of my mind. Oh, yesterday I was shouting and speaking in tongues. Now what I'm going to do? Open up your box and see what's in it. There's a solution for that problem right there. See that little thing you didn't think you'd ever have to need it, but you need it now. Fix it. It's God's super glue. It'll hold a freight train. Suspend it in the air. Fully loaded. Hallelujah. He can put you back together and make you better than you were before the thief tried to tear you up. Man. See, we don't enter into this door alone. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. If you read this just right and you get a real picture of what's going on here, Jesus wants to put you in His established, victorious, always winning, never losing, holy place that's always going to be holy. And the thing that makes it holy, where you can actually be standing on holy ground 24 hours a day of your life, is the fact that you're standing there with Jesus Christ. That's what makes it holy. That's what makes anything holy. The only thing that made the ground that Moses stood on holy was the fact that God was right there doing something. It was the presence of God that was causing that bush to burn and not consume. They may have had a lot of bushes burning. I've heard all kinds of explanations of people that don't want to believe that could really happen try to explain how bushes just catch on fire sometimes in the desert. This didn't just catch on fire. This was God's dealing. And the reason that was holy ground is because God was getting the attention of somebody He wanted to work with, wanted to work through, and wanted to do a great work for a whole lot of other people. So He said, just pull off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. Sometimes God will do the incredible, unusual, not ordinary, non-traditional, in order to get your attention so you'll listen to what it is that He has to say. Including taking a southern preacher from Arkansas, having him preach on the internet all over the world from Connecticut with a bunch of Chinese trying to figure out what he's saying. Hallelujah. Well, what is this, sir? Couldn't you just imagine being in China right now looking at this? And you can't understand a word I'm saying. That's what they're seeing out there. And And they're getting just as much out of it as a lot of the others are that knows everything I'm saying. Because right while I'm speaking, there's a thief grabbing every word. Saying, don't listen to that. You don't have to listen to that. That's not mainstream. I've actually witnessed words that I have spoken while God was moving through me to tell somebody something. I've actually seen them receive those words upside down, twisted, changed. And actually, I had to go back to the tape recorder and listen to it again. Yep. One lady told me several years ago, I know you said that. But I knew I didn't say that. But she said it so strong, she convinced me I probably did. Until I got to my tape recorder and it told me I didn't. But when I went back and told her I didn't say it, she said, I know you said it. I don't know what you did to your tape, but you said it. And no, a thief grabbed the word. It can happen to anybody. You can be as holy as... Who's holy? Elvis Presley. No, that's the wrong one. You can be as holy as the Pope. I don't know who to go to. Let's just say you can't be as holy as Jesus and have these problems, but somewhere in between you can try to be as holy as somebody that you think is so holy. And as long as that one that's you're trying to be like it's not Jesus, it's quite possible that something that holy person that you think is so holy can say that's not going to quite make it in the way that it's intended. In fact, you can be Jesus Christ himself. And you can speak to a group of people eyeball to eyeball and tell them the most basic, simple truth. And they'll scratch their heads and look at each other and hide behind a tree and make a plan to murder you. Kill your influence. Crucify that rascal. He says things we don't want to hear. Well, what did he say? Well, you know, Jesus teaches real simple lessons. They would accuse him of being a devil because they were receiving something that others received differently. He said to these disciples, these fishermen fishing and mending their nets and, you know, sticking with their job and doing what they had been doing all their lives, he said to them, come and follow me. And they just left everything, their occupations, everything. I don't know what all everything involved, but they left it all to follow him with no security being told where they would go or what they would have or how much was in it for them. Even when the question was asked, where are we going? Basically, Jesus said, well, I'm a homeless man. So follow me. Go with me. What do you do for a living? He didn't tell them all they needed to know. He could just say, well, I own everything you're walking on and the air you're breathing. But he didn't tell them that. He lets us walk by faith sometimes. He didn't share with them all the good news that could have been shared. He could have easily said, well, I made this world that you're walking on. And you wouldn't even be alive had I not... had a part in the creation of your very being. But no, he wanted to walk with his people, not above us, looking down upon us and trying to say, I know more than you do. But he wanted somebody that would receive his word, untwisted, unchanged. Thank you, Jesus. Unmolested. Exactly as it is. So right while some of these most religious seemingly... The guys that should know that, you know, that copy the Bible or the scrolls and they're into this trying to do everything according to the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I. But when Jesus came, after all the things they had studied in the Word, when he came, they didn't recognize that the exact things that the prophets had recorded, that they kept on studying all those years, those very things that were prophesied concerning this virgin-born child was happening before their very eyes. And the words that were being spoken were the very words that these people that were inspired of God to write the scriptures, the very words that they had prophesied about. But when the Lord would teach the multitudes, there were some standing with him, and even though they didn't understand, sometimes they stayed with him, most of the time. Because they'd left all to follow him, and they didn't really see where else they could go. Once you make a commitment to follow Jesus, you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. But there's always that something that wants to take it away from you. And those other people standing around hearing the same gracious words, the same gracious teaching, were plotting to kill him. And he tried to tell his followers, his closest followers, his inner circle, he tried to tell them and get it across to them in a way that they should have been able to understand that I'll be dead shortly. I'm going to be brought to an open shame. I'm going to be nailed to a cross. And they just kind of like drifted off into dreamland. And whatever he was saying to them to try to get them to know that I'm going to be destroyed, but, you know, all they were thinking is, no, it won't happen, but I won't let it happen. Well, even that thought, you know, you start having a thought, it can't happen because I won't let it happen. You got eye trouble. And Brother Daniel was talking, that's eye trouble. Hey, if it's not going to happen, if it's bad, it's not going to happen, you need to ask the one that's in the right way, that didn't come up by some other way, the one that has the truth, who is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he has the power. He's the one that can make it not happen. These people that start saying, you can depend on me, are the ones you probably can't depend on. Are the ones say, don't you trust me? Watch who you trust. Because ain't nobody God except God. And those you think you trust the most, who have proven themselves trustworthy, can betray you the most. I'm not saying don't have some friends. Go ahead and have some friends. But make sure that your friend that sticks closer than a brother is one that you get your advice from. The one you go to for counsel. The one you go to for wisdom. The one you go to get your answers. Because when you don't know what Jesus is saying, it's not clear to you, and you don't know what the preacher is up to, and you don't understand the church, and you don't understand what's going on over here. So you go to Sally down the street and say, would you explain this to me? Ain't no telling what you're going to get. If your name's Sally, I'm not talking about you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you worship him with me right quick? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've been interested in the presidential debates lately, and I have an interest in all the guys that are running for office. You know, and I don't like to hear anybody run down any one of those. I think anybody that has paid the price to get the education, to go through all the things you have to go through in politics, to be a governor or a senator, to get to this point, that they all deserve some appreciation. Right. And regardless of who may want to vote for anybody, I don't think any human being in America needs to run any other human being down that has paid the kind of price that every one of those people that are running for office, whether it be Democrat or Republican, we don't need to try to smear them with mud. And they don't need to be trying to smear each other either. Right. Praise God. Any human being that can go to the through the things you have to go through to arrive to a place where you're well thought of by a lot of people because of your good that you might have done over here or your good that you've done over there. And if you've created enough goodness in this world and been able to do enough that there is possibly a following of millions of people who may put you into an office just because some others are trying to run for that same office, don't forget that every one of them, whether they're running to be governor or president or senator or congressman or whatever it is, they have paid a great price. And it's not all bad. But you're going to hear all bad from your friends that don't agree that you should be voting for that one that they're not going to vote for. And if there's any dirt they can find on that one or this other one, because they want you to vote for their candidate, they're going to dig up that dirt. And they say, look at this dirt. And while you're all excited about this one or that one, all they want to do is persuade you, get your mind off the good and look at the bad. Get your mind off the good accomplishment and see what terrible things might have happened. It's like that in anything you do. You try to be a good Christian for Jesus, somebody's going to find some dirt on you. They're going to go back far enough and dig in your closets. And what Jesus Christ has put under the blood and made you white as snow and purified you completely and given you a fix-it kit that cures all things. Somebody's going to be out there trying to bring up your past. And it'll happen sometimes even when they're not talking to you. You'd just be asleep or dreaming. La la la. And an old memory comes back. And, oh, my, did I do that? That was, oh, I can't believe I really did that. I wonder if I ever asked God to forgive me for that. And then this other thought came, comes, and says, you probably didn't, and you're probably a hypocrite. You know, and then you start forgetting that wonderful blessing. That wonderful blessing that came when you were on your knees humbly before God, not caring what anybody thought about it. Say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I surrender all. I repent of all the things I've done wrong. You seem to start forgetting all of that, and all of a sudden you're listening to this thing that says, but you know what you did back then, and can God even forgive that kind of a sin? And this old voice starts getting so strong, and I talked about the choir. It's the same thing. It just gets stronger and stronger as you listen. That's what I'm talking about when I say yielding. As you listen to this, if it can, it'll persuade you that there is an alternate plan. There is another way where you don't have to feel all this guilt and shame that comes from being a sold-out Christian. I'm going to kick the teeth out of that. I read in the Bible somewhere he don't have any teeth. Somebody got to him first. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let this thief, I don't care what you're trying to do in life, whether it be Christianity or just promote a cause. Don't let this thief that tries to tell you there's another way other than the way that got you to this point of happiness and success and freedom and enjoyment of life, whatever area that enjoyment might be in. If you're just one out there who's getting some of the crumbs that fall from the table from those of us who are enjoying the blessings of the great meal that we get when we go to church, if you're just feasting on little nibbles here and there, but it feels good, and you're loving that moment that you get once in a while, that refreshing that you feel, praise God. Don't let anything take this precious joy, the little bit that you get to know. Don't let anybody take that away. The hard work you've done to accomplish what you've accomplished. Don't let anybody tell you you should have done it this way or that way. What you did was the right way. It was the right way. Now stand your ground and tell those mobsters to back off. Especially when you've got Jesus telling you, there is no other way. There is no other way. Anybody that tries to come up another way is the same as a thief and a robber. But you get in this way, and then when you get in this way, I'll be standing here right with you. And everything that comes against you will have to come against me. And I made the world, and I've got control over everything in it. And when you know where you are in God, you can speak to the elements. You can speak to the enemy. You can speak to your thoughts. You can speak to the darkness. You can speak to the wind. You can speak to the waves. In the name of Jesus. And the power that's within you is greater than all the forces around you. Let's praise Him tonight. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.